I want to talk about something for a few minutes tonight, and I really am going to try to hurry. We're going to have our fellowship afterwards, and I know, you know, we got to spend time doing that. So let me read one verse to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. I'm going to talk about tonight, God is orderly. Let all things be done decently and in order, and in order. Decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. I want to read just three verses out of 1 Chronicles also. And it really, I mean, it's not, you know, it's no earth-shaking thing, but it just shows the same thing about God. 1 Chronicles 15 verses 11 through 13. This is when they had brought the ark back up, and you remember they put it on a cart and pulled it with cows. And boy, it brought a curse on them. Remember the Philistines had it down there, and they all they all had this secret problem that God smote them with. Emerods in their secret parts. And man, they wanted that thing out of there. Went up here to these other people, and about the same thing happened to them. They wanted it out of there. So here's the problem. You know, they handle the holy thing, one of the most holy things of God, in an unholy way. They didn't do it like God said. This is what David says here. He said, and David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel and Azariah and Joel and Shemaiah and Eliel and Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel in unto the place that I have prepared for it. Because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. David said, I've studied this out and we did it wrong. We didn't do it the way God said to do it. Now, most people are not concerned about that anymore. They think you can do whatever you want in any way you want, and God's okay with it. God will have to accept it because you're offering it to him. No, big thing, big mistake. God doesn't accept everything we offer. We must offer it in the right order, the way God said to offer it. You know, that's just fact right there. You got to do it the way God says it. You got to do what he says. You got to do it the way he says. Because God is orderly. There's nothing disorderly about God. Order is the evidence of intelligence. Everybody wants to talk about this intelligent, creator. Everything was, what is the term I'm looking for? You know, it's by intelligent design. There you go. Intelligent design. Well, a lot of the scientific people of the world are beginning to go the other way on this. They're, instead of evolution and chance and order out of chaos, they're beginning to understand and realize and say that there is intelligent design in this universe, in the creation, in the living creatures, everything. It's so obvious, you can't miss it unless you're just an absolutely blind fanatic of this religion of evolution. But order is the evidence of intelligent design. Those who study archaeology or geology or anything, they're looking for order in the things they find because that speaks of intelligent design. They're looking for man's intelligent design. These are people that dig in the dirt and stuff. They're looking for things that are man-made. They're looking for things elsewhere that were designed by intelligent design. Man looks everywhere for things that are intelligently designed except all around him and in himself. They look on Mars. They're looking everywhere in the universe. They think they're looking for evidence of life. Well, what is evidence of life? There's something going on, and there's order there. They prescribe the order of life. Life produces this. Life exists in this circumstance, so they're looking for those circumstances so they can find life. Well, there's order in that, and that's what they're looking for. When you look for intelligence, you're looking for order. When we're in search of life and intelligent and intelligence, order is the evidence we're looking for. To determine whether something is man-made or just a result of natural processes, we look for deliberate arrangement. You know, if you pick up a rock and it's got writing on it, you know somebody did that. That didn't just happen with the raindrops hitting for millions of years in the exact right spots to chisel out those letters on that rock. What kind of a fool would believe that? And yet, we got a world full of them that believes more absurd things than that. Orders the deliberate organization of things as opposed to chaos and chance. Order is the deliberate arrangement of things. Yeah. We know what disorder looks like, don't we? Look behind your couch, underneath your couch. Look at your kitchen sink sometimes, you know. I mean, look at the clothes, your dirty clothes. We know what disorder looks like. Nobody enjoys it. Nobody likes it. Disorder is when you can't find what you need to find, when it's not where it's supposed to be, when it's not in the place that it's supposed to be. Disorder causes a lot of problems. All right? Order is the deliberate organization of things as opposed to chance and happenstance and all that. The body of a plant, the body of an animal, or the body of a human is made up of trillions of individual cells that are arranged in a precise order to form an organism. I learned this stuff in school. I don't know if they're teaching it anymore or not, what an organism is and all of that, but it's the facts, it's the way it is. There's no way that that can happen by chance, even over millions of years. There's no chance. It's impossible for order and life to come out of chaos and nothing. It must be created.
Right.
Some intelligence has to put it in order for it to work. Now you can't take your heart out and put it where your stomach is, or change it with your intestines. I just don't like it there. I'm going to put it down here. I'm going to put this up here. You know what you're going to do? Die. The whole thing dies. Won't work. You can't even take little parts of cells and swap places with them. They're important. It's important that they be where they're at because somebody designed this thing and put it in order, and it'll only work in this order. That's right. You got a bunch of gears and stuff turning, like most people don't even know what this is anymore, but, you know, like a differential. Trucks still have them, and buses and things like that. Cars don't anymore much. They're just one little mess in the front end of it that makes it go, that you can't work on or nothing. Right, Dakota? Amen. But a differential's gears that are running together. Now, you just pull that little plug out of the back, dump some nuts and bolts in there loose, and take off down the road. What do you think's going to happen? It's going to fly all to pieces. Pretty soon you're going to hear and your car's going to stop going, or your truck, because it ain't going to work like that. You just can't do that. And then when you go to fix it and you go to put it back together, you can't just eyeball it and say, that looks pretty good to me. You know, it'll just eat itself up. It's got to be done just exactly right. You can't put an engine together with pistons going up and down and crankshafts and camshafts and turning and all of that. I mean, it's thousandths of an inch is all there is. That's all the tolerance there is. Yeah. And you got to know how many thousandths. And you can't just say, well, I think that's close. I mean, you want them to set your valves somewhere between 10 and 80 thousandths. That'll work. No, that won't work. You can't fix your bearings, your rod bearings, and your main bearings in an engine. You can't, well, as long as it, like my building trades teacher told us, you know, about squaring up a building. He said, an inch and a half on a house and a foot and a half on a barn, boys, that's close enough for government work. A foot and a half out of square on a barn? Inch and a half out of square on a house? Well, he also had something to do with this, so look around you. Lord have mercy. But you can't do that. I mean, you can't, you put an engine together like that and that ain't gonna work. My brother did that one time with a John Deere lawnmower. He had a riding lawnmower, which is unusual back in them days, but he was going to overhaul the motor, so he pulled it out there, and when he's putting it back together, he put the cap on the piston, tightened it down, and it tightened it up on the crankshaft, and it wouldn't move. And he said, what am I going to do? I said, well, that ain't going to work. You can't do that. So he just loosened them up a little bit, loosened the rod cap bolts up a little bit until it loosened up. I said, David, I shouldn't have said his name. I said, that ain't going to work, man. He said, it'll work. So he put it back together, and he made about a half a lap around his house, wide open with that lawnmower, and bam, out it come right out the side of the engine, rod and piston and everything. The end of the riding lawnmower. It doesn't work. Well, the things of God are just like that. You got to do it just like God said. They brought the ark up, and they thought that's good enough. We're glad to have it. We welcome the ark of God back, and we consider this a real holy thing. Not holy enough. You didn't. You put it on a cart and pulled it with animals. And that was to be borne by men. Remember Brother Don Green preaching that message, the holier, the harder. And there was parts of the furniture and vessels of the tabernacle that could be moved on wagons. But there were things that couldn't. They had to be carried by the hands of the priest. And the ark was one of those things. Had four rings, one on each corner, and wooden rods that went through them, and there's to be a man on each corner. And if they moved it, that's how they moved it. No animals. It's a holy thing. And so just any old way just don't work with God, because He's an orderly God. Order is when things are placed together by design, with a purpose in mind. Now, the kids and all, we play with the little children and all, and they stack them blocks, and they put things in order. That's why that's something about a little child. You know, y'all, when you take your little babies to the doctor, as they grow up, they ask you questions like that, don't they? Well, are they putting stuff in other things? Are they trying to stack stuff up? They're wanting to see how they're developing. Well, they're intelligent. Their intelligence is going to develop, and what do they do when they start developing that intelligence? They start putting things in order. They have to put things in order. Things have to be moved and put so. It's just in us to do that. By nature, because we're made in the image and likeness of God, it's in us to put things in order. What does that say about somebody that just ain't got no order and don't care? And just lives every which way? Very little God. All right, order includes divisions, boundaries, and limits. Divisions and boundaries and limits. That's what order is. You divide stuff up. You put them in certain places. You make boundaries. You make limits. You put so many in this, so many in this. Order. I mean, what if you went to the store and you went to buy soda? And one bottle had a quarter full, and the next one had two-thirds full, and the next one was plumb up to the lid, and the next one might be that much in the bottom of it. I mean, you just couldn't tell what was going to happen. Would you be interested in that buying that brand? Of course not. When it says 16 ounces, that's what's supposed to be in there. That's order. Disorder is when it's unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Order is when you do what you say you'll do. Disorder is when nobody can tell what you're going to do. That's unfaithfulness. That's disorder. It's chaos. Order doesn't happen without intelligent intervention. It doesn't happen. Without intelligent intervention, there is chaos. There's no order. There's no intelligence. Where there's order, there's got to be intelligent design. All right? Order is evidence that someone is in command, while disorder is evidence of the lack of it. Well, I could just say so much, but I'm trying to hurry. Order is the foundation of all good things. You want to have peace in your home. You want to get rid of the strife and the quarreling. Y'all listening to me? And the frustration and the blame game and all of that, order, order. You can ask my kids, my family, my wife, if there's anything that I've harped on all through the years, if there's anything that frustrates me more than anything, it's the disorder and the disorganization the looseness in keeping order. If you want to have peace, have order. If you want anything to work, keep it in order. All right, order is evidence that somebody's in command. Order is the foundation of all good things. Order makes all learning possible. You can't learn without order. If there were only chaos, we would never learn anything because there would be nothing to learn, because order is what makes up knowledge. Knowledge has to come from order. You can't teach anything unless you do it orderly. It has to be broken down into steps and divisions and boundaries, like we said there. I mean, you go to the first grade, you learn first grade stuff. Second grade, third grade, fourth grade. You don't teach 12th grade stuff to first graders. Somebody designed all that with order, or you're not going to learn. You have to learn it in order. First things first, last things last, and everything in between as it goes. You must be organized. You must have things designed in a way that it can be done orderly, or you're not going to learn. Amen. And the more order there is, the easier it's going to be for people to learn, and the more they're going to learn. That's what's wrong with our schools. The order is gone. They have nothing in mind except ungodliness and indoctrination and stupid stuff. Wicked stuff. Amen. I really believe that. I've talked to a few teachers, and I believe they've quit teaching for the most part in schools. They sure ain't learning what I learned in school. I mean, I did know we had to learn the states and every capital. We had to memorize them when I was a little bitty kid. I mean, I'm talking second, third grade, long in there. We had to learn the states and know the capitals of every state and be able to stand up and say them. And now people don't even know. They don't even know which way. We was talking about it at dinner. You know, we're going to go up to Louisiana next weekend. You know, and have no clue which way is which. Totally ignorant of geography and everything. That's disorder. Order in your life, you ought to know where you're at and which way is which. That's order. Disorder is when you don't know north from south or east from west, and you don't know where you're at or where you're going or how to get there. What a mess. Travel with somebody like that a while. Order makes things understandable and predictable. I've found that out a long time ago. And you know the Bible teaches this. How do you learn? How do you grow? How does this process happen? Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's how you do it.
That's right.
And when you go to teach a child something, you don't say, all right, here's the multiplication tables, you know, and go through them all at one time. You don't do that. You don't memorize a poem. We had to memorize poems when I was in school. And so did my grandpa 100 years ago. Yep. And he could still, when he died, he could still quote you. It was like a 3-page poem that he learned in school. Yep. And several of them, not just one. But you don't learn stuff like that, just happenstance and willy-nilly. I mean, you learn it a little at a time. How many times have I told you in teaching the kids, line at a time. Don't give it all to them. Don't sit there and go through a whole thing with them. They've lost the first by the time you got to the last of the first verse. Learn the first line. Get it down. Then learn the second line. Add that to it. Keep adding line upon line. You learn in order. It's the only way you can. You got to break it up. You got to make divisions. You got to have boundaries. That's how you learn. Because it's orderly. You can't learn any other way. It makes things understandable. You can understand if you learn a little at a time. Remember that in teaching children. It's a little at a time. They can only learn a little at a time. But little children like her, man, they are just like a big old whirlpool when it comes to knowledge. You can just pour it into them and they'll get it. I was always fascinated when we first started having Christian schools and stuff. Now, you know, 35 years ago, 40 almost. And I was amazed at the kindergartners, how they taught them then and how they learned. Janine had the first kindergartners, and you know, they could just memorize chapters and books out of the Bible, just, you know, and Psalms and all kinds of stuff. And them little kids just stand up there and just say it all perfectly. I thought, wow. But how did they teach them? How did you teach them? Little at a time. Just little at a time, little at a time. Keep building. You lay one brick on top of another brick. You lay a row of bricks, and then you lay another row of bricks, and then you lay another row of bricks, and then you lay another row of bricks. You don't build a building all at once. You do it a layer at a time. It's order. You're able to learn stuff. Order creates harmony, and therefore peace. While disorder and confusion cause frustration and anger and bitterness. Order causes harmony and peace. That's the fruit of it. That's what it brings. You want to have harmony and peace in your home? Have some order. You want to have harmony and peace in your life? Have some order in your life. Do things in order. You know, it's good to get up at a certain time every day. Set that alarm. Get up. Certain time every day. So, I just want to sleep till I wake up. That's disorder. That's slothfulness. The sluggard turns on his bed like a door on its hinges. That's no discipline. You're not denying yourself nothing. You're just indulging your laziness. Get up. Put some order in your life. Get up and do something. Have something you do when you get up that's profitable. Order your time. Your life. You know what you'll have? Harmony with other people. You'll have peace. You'll feel a lot better about yourself. I promise you, you will. And very soon you'll be looking at people that won't get out of bed, just like I do. And just like everybody else does that gets out of bed. Amen. You might as well say amen, because that's right. God is an orderly God. And the creation clearly shows the evidence of intelligent design from the smallest to the grandest. Wow. You ever see them pictures of how they compare the earth to the sun? The moon to the earth, and then the earth to the sun, and then our sun to the next biggest star, and then the next biggest star. You ever see that? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's unbelievable. This blows your mind. And from the biggest to the littlest. Have you ever saw that thing where you start way out in space and you zoom in and you come in on the galaxy and then you come in on the solar system and then you come in to the earth and then you keep zooming and you come in and you start seeing the land and the sea and then you keep zooming and it goes all the way down to a tree and a leaf on a tree and then to the cell and the leaf on the tree and then to the nucleus of the cell and the leaf and the cell of the leaf on the tree. Did you ever see that? Pretty fantastic, ain't it? That's God's creation. It's order from the biggest and the farthest to the very tiniest. We ain't even found the end of either end. We've never seen the biggest, and we have never found the smallest. They've got down to where it's an atom, and then the parts of the atom, you know, the neutrons, protons, and electrons, but now they've got a quark. I don't know what it is, but it's smaller than them. Wonder what a quark's made out of. Something smaller. We can't find the end of it. Can't find the end, but we know. I mean, an atom, it's orderly. I mean, it's got to work just right. You throw a monkey wrench in that and kaboom, I mean, they done it. That's what they did. They split an atom, break the order. And what do you get? A big explosion. A way to destroy stuff. That ain't order. That's a disorder. Break the order of God and His creation. That's what man's all about, ain't it? The universe is not in chaos, but it runs like a finely tuned clock, more precise than anything man has ever made. Y'all realize that? Nothing moves in the universe. Everything stays in its course. You don't understand that? Just like God set it to spinning, that's the way it's still spinning. Huh. I seen the other day where they found, they think they've found an asteroid out past Mars in the asteroid belt, and it's almost pure gold. Boy, if we could just get that thing. Too bad it's too far out there. They ain't figured out a way to do it yet. They ain't going to either. Everything works just like God meant it to. You know, if it all blew up and everything just went flying, everything by physics, the laws of physics, everything would be spinning the same way, wouldn't it? I mean, if you take a bunch of marbles and you throw them out there like that, they're all going to be spinning the same way. But do you know the planets don't do that around our sun? Some of them spin one way, some of them spin the other way. Some of the moons going around the planet, some of them spin one way and the others spin the other way. God did that on purpose. Just to show somebody did this. This wouldn't happen out of chaos. This wouldn't happen out of just an chance explosion. Somebody, on purpose, and we know who it was, set them all to spinning just like they are. They've been spinning that way ever since. They'll spin until the heavens are rolled up like a scroll and it's all done. And the universe waxes old like a garment. He put all things in the universe in such order. It'd be absurd to think that he didn't arrange for the life of man to be lived in an orderly fashion. Sin is confusion, which is the absence or the disregard of order. That's what sin, that's the result of it. God's law is the order by which man, by which God has arranged the life of man. God's law was not given to show us how sinful we are. That's not the reason God's law was given. God's law was given so man would know the heart of God. Yeah. And when we look at the law of God, we see how far off we are. Yeah, that's right. But God didn't give the law just to show us how far off we are. God gave the law for us to live by. Yeah. That's right. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. God didn't say, thou shalt not, when he knew we couldn't help it, and that we would anyway. He didn't just make mute statements, or moot statements in his law. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's just what he means for us to do. It's the order that we're to live in. The disregard or casting away of the law of God is why man is a sinner or a lost and confused being without any idea why he's here or where he's going or what life is about. It's the disregard of God's law, which is order. The two words go together, law and order. We have law and order. We have order because of the law. We have order when people submit and obey the law. When people do not obey the law, we have disorder, anarchy, when it comes down to human governments and societies. It's anarchy when we toss the law out the window. Do you realize that's what these Antifa and all these people are? They're anarchist. They don't believe in law, just like people in the churches don't believe in law now. Just like all the Baptists who have their Christian liberty. And everything's legalism. If you call anything bad, it's legalism. You're a legalist. Those people are spiritual anarchists. They're just like the Antifa. And they wear their masks too, just like they do. Law and order. Don't say nothing bad about the law of God, or you'll get a fight out of me. The breakdown of God's order for man and woman and the home and the family has obviously brought our world into chaos and confusion that we see around us today. Breaking down what used to be the order of society. Father, mother. They both had their stations in life. It was important for the family unit. The children grew up with a mother and a father. A mother who was home, a father who worked. Order there, love there, respect between the two for the two different stations of life in God's order. God designed. Wasn't no invention of man. Man didn't come up with that. No man ever said, this is where women belong, this is where man belongs. God did that. But we've thrown all that out. You know, man and a woman being married, we've thrown all that out. Now we got sodomites. And shame on you. I mean, God have mercy on your soul. If you love Disney, they're coming right out next. I was reading about it the other day. Full on sodomites in the one of the next animated movies they're making. They've already done it over and over and over and over. I saw where this Dennis Day. He was one of the first Mouseketeers. He was a Mickey Mouse Club, whatever. He was a sodomite, 80 some years old. His mate, and he got killed and murdered, and I found the guy did it and all this, but. And one of the people commented and said, were there any of those of the Mickey Mouse Club that were straight? That goes way back, don't it? That's before I was even old enough. I mean, I barely remember that when I was a kid. It was really before me. And now people are sitting in church and they'll pump that stuff. Anytime Disney comes out with a movie, people going by it. This old junk of, what was the one, Frozen? And everybody just went after that, and that is one of the most wicked things I ever seen. And if you ain't got enough discernment about you to see that, God have mercy on you. I mean, pure humanism, pure rebellion, pure attack, straight on attack of God's authority and order. Yes, that too. But now they got sodomites kissing on the cartoon movies. And everybody's still going for it. Still going for it. God's order. That's where we're at because we broke it down back there. Made the man the idiot, the villain, the stupid guy, the worthless guy. And mom knows everything. In the 50s it was father knows best. Now it's mom knows best. Dad's an idiot. How are we doing? You like it that the girls' bathroom is now open to anybody, any man that wants to go in there? Do you like that? That's where that came from. You broke down the order of God. God's order, you threw it out the window. The feminists did. And everybody's too scared to deal with them, just fall in line and go with them. The shuffling of God's arrangements for man has brought us into violence and hatred like the world has not known since the days of Noah. I mean, we're just where Jesus said we'd be before he comes, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. That's where we're at right now. The world's filled with violence. And they have corrupted his way in all the earth. That's what we've done. Corrupted his way. Thrown out his order. Order itself should not be the object of our attention and goals. Just to have order. Orders is only a preparation for God to work in a life. You know, before you can get saved, there has to be some order brought into the matter here. You're in chaos and darkness and sin. Sin is confusion. Sin is chaos. That's where you're at when you're lost. You can't find your way out of it. There has to be some kind of order. Some things have to be laid in order for you to get out of it. A bridge must be built before you can find your way across that wide chasm that separates you from God. There has to be some order. Somebody has to know what's what. Somebody has to know where to lay the bricks, where to tie the ropes. Order provides an atmosphere and an environment for God to work in. That's why he said about the church, the verse I read in the beginning, he's talking in the context about the operation of the church. The local church. Not the universal invisible church. The local church. Let all things be done decently and in order. He's talking to the Corinthians, who were far from any of that. Man, they had blah, 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 blah going on all over the church. They had sin in the church. Everything was a mess. No wonder he said, let everything be done decently and in order. Stop this nonsense. Stop this confusion. Stop this chaos and anarchy in the church. Stop it. Do things in order. We got order here tonight. I'm preaching, you're listening. This ain't a public forum. That's not what church is. It's not a place where we do like they do on the news shows now, where they got four or five of them, all of them talking and hollering at once. Oh, it's chaos, and it's offensive to everything in me. I can't stand it. I just go, oh, turn it off. On the radio, that's the only place I ever hear. I wouldn't listen to it. Sometimes on the news, on the internet, I'll sit and I can't stand that. Shut up. This ain't the way to do it. It used to be one person talking. You could sit there and listen to them while they explained and told you everything. And you'd sit there calmly and you know, enjoy listening to what they had to say. Not now. No order. There's no order. Nobody respects nothing. They'll talk right over the top of one another. They'll holler if they have to. Do anything they have to. And it's just chaos. No order. So, order provides an atmosphere and environment for God to work in. And order provides an opportunity for peace and harmony among those who cooperate to maintain that order. We used to have a country where there was order. And where things worked so much better because of that order. Our goal and our attention should be toward God Himself. But since He's such an orderly God, this should be a major part of our life. I'm not talking about OCD. That's the new thing nowadays. Everybody, you know, if you got any order or you insist upon order, you just got OCD. OCD coming out there. That's because everybody loves chaos. They despise order. It takes some effort and work to have order. It takes some thought. You got to think before you do. And then you got to do on purpose. It takes discipline to have order. Nobody likes that stuff. They don't want to think. They don't want to work. And they don't want to discipline themselves. So that's why we got all this chaos. Everybody loves it so much. But it's got a high price tag on it. There should be order in all areas of our life if we're going to be pleasing to God. Organization. Deliberate arrangement. And I'm talking about, I'll say this in a minute here. But control and oversight, not just apathy and carelessness. You ought to care what happens. About everything. You know, if the roof leaks and you don't fix it, what's going to happen eventually? Yeah, it's going to fall in on you. I don't care. You will when the house falls in on you. Mm-hmm. You got to fix things. I'm chased too many rabbits there, but I got to hurry here. There should be order in the way we think and reason. You ought to order your thoughts, the way you reason. Gird up the loins of your mind. Think on purpose. Refuse to think about some things on purpose. Think in a deliberate, orderly, organized way with control over your thoughts. Don't let your mind just freewheel. You'll go nuts. You could lose your mind. You got to have some control and order about the way you think and reason. And you better watch it. I mean, when you see some crazy fool out here in the world and you say, man, he's crazy, you better be careful or you'll be thinking like him. Yep. Check your own self. Think about your own thoughts, the way you think, the things you think with. Are you like them? Ask yourself that. Man, am I like them? I correct myself sometimes that way. I say, man, no, I don't want to be like that. Not going to do that. Stop thinking that way. Not going to do that. There should be some order in the way we take care of our things. I really think that. Really do. I think we ought to take care of what we got. And there ought to be some order about it. You're supposed to change your oil. Certain intervals. Y'all know that? You don't let it go until you sell the car. Some people do. They never change oil. Is that right, Gary? Yes, sir. They buy a car, never change the oil. Somebody's telling me here a while back, some guy was at the mill, said one of his sons bought this motorcycle and said he never checked the oil, never changed the oil, nothing. He just run it till it locked up. Wasn't too proud of his boy. There's no order in that. What is order? Well, you change it ever so many miles. Now the car won't leave you alone unless you change oil. Time to change oil. Check engine. Time to change oil, son. Oil life expired. Rah, rah, rah. Whatever it says. It's, every time you get in the car. They got to do that because people are so lazy and unconcerned, disorganized. They won't do it. There ought to be order in the way we take care of our things. If you buy used stuff, you ought to say amen. Boy, that's right. You want to buy a car that somebody else has never changed the oil in? There should be order in the way we manage your time. You'd be amazed how much better your life will be if you just manage your time in order. Put some order in it. Schedule. Allow so much for this and for that, and don't just waste your time scrolling through Facebook endlessly. Oh, there should be order in the way we spend and manage our money. It's called budgets, and it's called being a good steward, and it's called being frugal and all of that. You got to have some order, or you're just going to end up in a very bad way when it comes to managing money. Better get some order about that. There should be order in our home and in our life. Shouldn't be everybody looking for something all the time because it's missing, because it ain't where it belongs, because the laundry ain't done, ain't no towels. Laundry ain't done, ain't no underwear to wear. You know, we're out of this, we're out of that. Order solves all of those problems. You know what you're going to need. You know what you're going to need tomorrow. You know already. Just prepare for it. That's just simply order in your thoughts, order in your life, order in your home. And man, it makes for peace and tranquility. And you can sit around and hold hands and talk nice to one another instead of blaming and hollering at one another and frowning and crying and fighting and fussing and being mad. Simple cure for all of that. A little order. There should be order in our service for God. I mean, what would we do even in this little old church we got here? What would we do if it was just, well, just show up whenever you want to? We're not going to have scheduled services. It's just like, whenever you feel like coming. How would that go? No, we have services at 10 o'clock Sunday morning, Sunday school, 11 o'clock. Sunday morning service, 6 o'clock Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Wednesday evening. It's orderly. That's the order. Amen. And we start at 7 and we get out at 10 or sometime like that. Right? See how much you're listening. There ought to be order in our service for God. And I could say a whole bunch more. And the less the order, the more the misery and frustration. Bank on that. The less order, the less of God you'll experience in your life. Because you'll be chasing your tail all the time. You ain't going to be having time, and you're not going to be in the right spirit and mood, if you will, to learn about God, because you're going to be so frustrated trying to get by in life because of all the disorder and confusion and chaos and frustration that it causes. Learn to live orderly and teach your children to be orderly. Teach them to be disciplined. Teach them to do things and go by a schedule. Amen. It's one of the things that we've, homeschooling and stuff, it's always a problem because, when I was a kid, we had to get up at a certain time and go to school, didn't we? And when I was a kid in high school over here, I don't even remember what time we got there, but I remember going to school in the dark. And We didn't get out till 20 to 4. That's when the last bell rung. 3:40. So we were late getting home. That was every day. Went to school. That was school. And you know, homeschooling, you know, we tried it. And I said, well, if I can get the work done, that's all that matters. Well, in 2 hours or less, they said, I'm done. And here's the rest of the day. That ain't no good. They need to be disciplined. There needs to be a set time. You're going to sit there at that desk. For this amount of time, we have a schedule. Now, we had a schedule at school. We had different class every hour. The bell rang, blam. We'd come out in the hall, go to our locker and get our books and go to the next class. We had recess and lunch hour and all of this. Wasn't just one grueling 8-hour day sitting at a desk and never moving. No, can't do that at home either. But there needs to be a schedule. Live orderly. Live orderly and teach the children to be orderly. Every thinking person, everybody that thinks, will be attempting to put order where there is confusion and chaos. I mean, that's just that's the natural thing for anybody that is thinking. If you're brain dead and you're numb because of all the whatever is in your life, the things you're occupied with, work or Facebook or the just games or whatever, if you're just brain dead and numb from that, you ain't going to be worrying about nothing. I mean, the house will fall in on you and you don't care. But if you're a thinking person, you're going to be trying to put order where there's disorder. Yeah. Amen. I could put it a little stronger than that, but I won't. Let all things be done decently in order, because God is an orderly God. That's one of His attributes that does not change. When things get too disorderly, He puts them back in order. That's what judgment is about. Amen. All right, well, stand with me. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll just dismiss, and we'll stay out here and let them work a little, a few minutes, and let them get things ready before we go out there and disturb them. Shouldn't take too long, should it? All right. Amen. Lord, thank You for the good Lord's day, and thank You for the Word of God and how You help us with it. Lord, please help us to receive it. Oh, Lord, to learn it. Pray that somebody be listening. And Lord, that they'd take it into their heart and obey it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I got a couple of real good emails this week. One was from a woman in Canada, a lady in Canada. It's about the original sin issue. And she emailed the Midway website that I did 20 years ago or so. And the email address was bad. She sent it to Brother Owen and had him forward it to me. So I got it. And she was just telling me she was a Catholic. And she believed all that stuff. And she said, you are absolutely right about what you said about the Catholics and all that. And she said, you know, she just told all about how she finally got out of that. She said, it was in me so deep that I didn't even realize. But anyway, just thank you for that. So I emailed her back and I said, well, you know, I did that about 20 years ago. And I said, it was pretty rough. And I said, I went through it 2 or 3 times through the years, going to edit it. And I was going to, you know, calm it down a little bit. But every time I just think, nah, that's just how it needs to be. And I said, if I'm older now, and if I wrote that now, I'd probably do it a little gentler and a little more. So she wrote me back today and she said, don't you feel bad about that? We've got enough coddling going on in the churches. It needs to be straight and hard like that. And then some other woman wrote in, down around Memphis about the message here that I preached here a while back about the purchased or bailed out. You remember? Talked about the blood and how the blood's not just your payment for sin that you did. And see, you know, that's one of the things what the name said to you. And I told them, you guys sing a song, the only thing He bought was me. You can sing that song and everybody shouts and cries and says, oh, ain't that wonderful? And then you preach the same message and they say, you're a heretic. But, you know, that woman said, she said, I've never heard it put so eloquently and clear, she said. But it was just, she just thanked God. Said, that is the gospel. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Huh? Not all women ate you.
Oh, no. No, I know that. I usually hear from women, you know, mostly. And I'm telling you, I've never, only one since we've been here, since we've had the church in all these years now, 11 years, there's only one woman that wrote negative, and she wasn't real hostile. She just didn't agree with me, what I said. But, you know, they're not all. No, sir. Most of them encourage me. Well, yeah, that one there, yeah. She don't hate me. She just thinks, she was just shocked. But the women over the makeup and over the pants wearing and stuff, I heard from women about that saying, yes, sir, thank the Lord. Somebody said that. Had one woman wrote, she said, I never heard that in my life. And she said, from now on, there's going to be some changes in my life when I go to work, the way I'm dressed. Well, an older woman.
Yeah, I thought about it. I mean, here's the deal. If you're going to a church that don't preach on the law, and the law ain't important, where do you find about moxie?
No.
It's in the law. It's right there in Deuteronomy. It's actually the only verse that I've ever found that's that plain about it.
Well, I see these women on Facebook, and they're talking about modesty, and oh, there's so much for it. And then the next time you see them, it's about their tight jeans.
Right.